In the last episode that I did, I wanted to take you on a journey with our designer and brand strategist and Shelley Johnson from This Is Work around the actual rebranding and the process of effectively ditching the brand My Millennial Money and moving to This Is Money. There was a heap of questions that came in on the Facebook group and on Instagram about the business itself, and people had lots of questions. So I am going to just answer all those questions on this episode. This episode may go for an hour and a half. It may go for an hour. It might go for half an hour. I don't know. There's a lot of questions that you submitted, and I will answer those questions as honestly as possible, hopefully without sharing too many state secrets or breaching any type of confidentiality within my business and other commercial relationships. But I'm going to open the hood of my business, and I'm going to tell you everything I can, and we'll have a good time along the way. My name's Glenn James, and this is Business.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
First up, I'm going to talk about the audience targeting strategy. Amy asked in the Facebook group, is anything in your audience targeting strategy changing with the removal of reference to millennials? Now, there was a heap of questions around this that we did answer in the last episode. So if you haven't listened to that, jump in and have a look. But effectively, when I started My Millennial Money, I really just thought of a name at the time that was very on trend or markety or cool, if you will. And that's a business lesson there, 101. Like, when you choose your name, you've got to make sure it's future proof. And to be honest, using the word millennial in the business name and the podcast name, it was great while it was great. And that's the thing. When we talk about our audience, sure, over time, everyone's going to be, if you're a millennial now, you're always going to be a millennial. You've got to remember, when we first started My Millennial Money, we were really the first personal finance podcast by Aussies, for Aussies, that kind of blew up and went big, all right? And millennial, it was most people listening to podcasts in 2018 were millennials. So it made sense. And then slowly over time, I think the word millennial has lost its shine, and it's almost a negative word now, much like boomers and, you know, all these labels that we put on other generations and people. So basically what I wanted to do, I wanted to kill the word millennial. And within that, I needed to do a few other things with the branding and the business. And I had a couple of other things going on. I had Sort Your Money Out, which was my book and my website, sortyourmoneyout.com. And I also had the operating entity, Simo Interactive. And the Simo Interactive was a publicly facing name. So on the podcast, it was like, this is produced by Simo Interactive. And then we had Sort Your Money Out. And then we had My Millennial Money. So we had all these brands. So we really had to go back to the drawing board because I'd never done this for this business. For my financial advice business, I did do a full brand strategy. But we really went back to the drawing board, and I'm like, we need to change the name. It does not reflect the audience anymore, because there's people that are 17 and 75 listening. So within that, the question is about the audience targeting strategy. Well, I don't think it was on purpose. Like, I'm not with the Now This Is Money podcast. I'm not going out there just targeting everyone now. Like, the content, if you listened before This Is Money and you listened after This Is Money, I haven't changed. Really, what we've done hasn't changed. We've just refreshed the name so it is more inclusive, because you've got to remember, money is the same whether you're 18 or 80. We've got money that comes in, we've got a budget, and we've got to spend it. So I don't know if that really answers your question, potentially there could be an organic factor with the audience targeting strategy, but it was more about removing the word millennial than trying to change the name of the podcast to go after different people. Now, of course, I need to grow the business and the audience, and it's going to be an easier sell to not have a word millennial. Like when we changed, we had people write in and be like, oh, hey, thanks so much for changing the name. I can now forward an episode to my friend who's a Gen Z, and I don't have to do as hard sell, like, oh, it says millennial in the name, but the content's really good. So it just removed a whole heap of those friction points. And yeah, it's been great. Amy also asked, why did you choose the name where there is already a platform with similar purposes using the exact same name in the UK? She said, it's a genuine question, just wondering what the logic was behind persevering with it versus a unique choice. Okay, so as time goes on, it's obviously harder to think of names for businesses, just the nature of things. So a couple of things then. I think there was a question like, where did you come up with the name This Is Money? For a while now, and we really planted the seed maybe in July last year, July 23, that I really did want to change the name of the podcast. So I was always thinking and dropping little seeds to our listeners. And I think I was joking saying, oh, I'm going to call it More Than Money or something like this. And I think one or two episodes, I may have even said the actual name and people didn't realize. And a lot of it was, I need this to work. So when I do my intro to the podcast, I can end on a, hey, my name's Glenn James and you're listening to. So I was kind of thinking, I was like, my name's Glenn James and this is money. I was like, yes, that's what we're doing. This is money. And then I was thinking, well, how can we bring the other shows? Like we've got My Millennial Career, we've got My Millennial Investing or Investor, I don't even know what it's called. And we've got My Millennial Property and My Millennial Daily. So we've got these shows. So we needed a name that could work with those shows as well. I was like, this is property. This is business. This is investing. This is career. Okay, well, that doesn't actually work. So we need to make a new name for that. So we made This Is Work. Now, on the whole UK thing, there is a website, a publication in the UK that has the same name and it's called This Is Money. They've also got a podcast. It's called This Is Money. Now, it is more of a economic type newsy publication. And I did, that was the only, like of all the names that we did, that was the only one that there was a similar thing in the world out there, right? So I took the view that, well, we do not operate or have a target audience realistically outside of Australia. Their target audience is the UK. So it'd be no different as far as I'm concerned as someone having a business in Australia called David's Wall and Floor Tiling. And then there's a business in the UK called David's Wall and Floor Tiling. It really doesn't matter because they're in different markets, different countries. Now, okay, enter internet into the chat. So that's probably the only problem is around Google and the podcast apps learning that this is money. Thankfully now, if you go into your podcast app and you search My Millennial Money, it'll just pop up, This Is Money. If you search, and I'll do it now, I haven't done it for a while. It might not work on mine. I'll just do Spotify, This Is Money. Search, the top ones, yeah, it's probably hard. Yeah, so the UK one doesn't really come down until halfway down. So the algorithms are learning. Now, the episode that I did with Jason and Shelley, I kind of had this internal business struggle. And for the business owners out there, you'd probably really get this. There are things in life and in business where you actually have to make a call. And we call that a business risk, okay? So for example, we get questions all the time when someone's like, oh, I'm making a business from home. I'm going to be sewing leather purses and I'll be selling that online. So the book says, I sell leather purses to other people. I probably should have some type of product insurance. So if the product goes and there's a liability, if I get sued, the insurance pays. Now, the business risk on that side of it, I would say, hey, you're selling the odd bit of leather purse, just whatever, don't worry about the insurance. You take that on as a business risk. Like, who's suing you over a leather purse malfunctioning? Like, so yes, strictly you want product liability stuff. And as the business grows, and if it was a multi-million dollar thing, you might look at it. But if you're just getting started, yeah, I'll take that on as a bit of a business risk. So for me, we're going through this whole process with the design process, and I locked in the names. And the last episode, Jason, our branding guy, he wasn't sold on the name. And he's like, I don't love it. I think we can do better. And look, he actually doesn't mind it and he does like it. But in the early stages, he was like, I think we need to workshop it more. I'm like, no, this is happening because I can get all the other shows. There's nothing else in Australia. I can get the domain, like everything. And I said to him, but the trademark takes about 6 months. So what I did was I registered the trademark. This is money. And I went through the Head Start thing on IP Australia and it got preliminary, like, yep, we think it could be registered. So I'm like, sweet. And then it goes into this opposition period for 6 months. Now, the episode that I did with Jason and Shelley, and even this one, I took the risk that, like, number one, I'm not doing these episodes until that trademark is locked in because I don't want this to draw more attention to what we're doing. But because the This Is Money trademark is locked in Australia, we've got IP Australia says, we have the trademark, This Is Money in Australia. Now, I said to him, look, I don't want to do the rebrand and launch it until after the trademark, but I also want to do the brand and launch it at the start of 2024. And at the start of 2024, the trademark was in and had preliminary tick, but it hadn't gone through everything and been registered. So I took the business risk that, I think because there's no one else in Australia using This Is Money, let's rebrand it This Is Money, knowing that that was a business risk I was willing to take, where I could spend thousands of dollars rebranding and everything, and at the last minute get a knock on the door from someone saying we can't pass this trademark because someone's disputed it. So I took the business risk that, let's do the rebrand based on This Is Money. I've got all the trademark applications in. There's no other businesses in Australia. And I won't do the episodes about this stuff until it's locked in. So now, you know, the This Is Money trademark, I own it, it's protected, and we only operate in Australia. Now, I don't plan to open a thisismoney.co.uk. Not at all. I'm operating in Australia. The issue I do have, though, because that business name in America, in the UK was so popular and the only thing that comes up when you Google, I've got to somehow try and get the algorithm. So if I search This Is Money and click go, it still comes, the UK one comes up first. Okay, thisismoney.co.uk. The second one is This Is Money on Apple Podcasts, which is our podcast. Join Glenn James, blah, blah, blah. The third one is our old website. It's called mymillennial.money. This Is Money. Check out our new website, This Is Money. And then there's another, people are asking, what is the new name for My Millennial Money? So the rest is history. So basically our new domain is thisis.money. And I really want to try and continue to get Google to learn that domain here in Australia. So because we're primarily podcast, I don't care as much that the online stuff takes a while. And at the end of the day, if someone finds us and they, you know, if they want to get in touch, they'll find us, I believe. So that was just in answer to the UK business. I'm not operating outside of the, I think they call it like the indirect tax zone, which means in Australia. So if you look at the map, I don't know, outside of the map of Australia is a lion, and that's within that is the indirect tax zone, which basically means Australia. So I'm not operating outside of that. Now, this product may be consumed in other parts of the world. That's fine. Like if I sold a widget with the same name as Bob's Phone Cases Australia, and there was one Bob's Phone Cases in the UK, I'm selling Bob's Phone Cases Australia just to the Australian market. If someone takes that and goes on holidays and uses it in the UK, well, like at what point do you, you know, it's just, I don't think it's a big deal. So Thanks for those questions, Amy. Emily, love the spirit of openness. I'm liking the rebrand as an MMM evangelist and comms professional. Very interested to hear the thoughts and strategy behind this. I've always rightly or wrongly thought of your shows as though MMM was the main show and all the other shows, Property Career Acceptor, were sub-shows. What's the actual structure of the business and the shows? I assume with This Is Money, you are the host and also the owner. What's your role with the other shows? You also mentioned in your email that Simo will be less consumer-facing. Will the network of shows be known as the This Is Network instead? So that's a great question. And there's another one here that I'll get into from Jack. This may be too sensitive to share publicly, but I've always wondered how the hosts and guests get compensated. Do they get paid per episode? Is there a split of revenue, essentially with This Investing, for example? I've just always questioned that. So I'll answer that as well, Jack. So I'll start with Simo. So Simo Interactive is the operating company that effectively employs the staff, receives some revenue, and distributes any profit back to the owner of Simo Interactive, which is my family trust. Because we do a heap of different shows, like we've got, so for example, Dev Raga, Personal Finance. That's not a This Is or My Millennial show, but Simo Interactive is the production house that does these shows. But it just was like, this is all too confusing. So I basically registered the business name, and that business name is This Is Money. So not only do I have the trademark in Australia for This Is Money, I've got the actual business name, This Is Money. Now, because it was just like so confusing, I just was like, we just need to kill Simo Interactive because it doesn't really mean anything. So now the network of shows, and we did wonder whether we call it the This Is Network or the This Is Money Network, but I decided to call it the This Is Money Podcast Network, or This Is, like, there's no actual official name, but for example, our ad agency emailed us the other day and they're like, oh, what do we refer to you as? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Just call it the This Is Money Network. So the reason why I wanted to call it the This Is Money Network is just to advertise the main show. And that kind of leads into it. So My Millennial Money is the jewel in our crown. It is the biggest show in terms of listenership. It is the biggest show in terms of revenue. And it's the biggest show in terms of the, it is kind of changing, but we will put a little bit more effort into promoting the main show and also editing the main show. Just like, but again, it is changing because our team are really great. So it is our big thing. And the reason why I started the other shows like the property and career and investing, or as Emily said, the sub shows, was because the first one was property that we did a spin-off. And I'm like, John, we've got to do another property show because everyone's like frothing on property. So let's give them a dedicated podcast. And again, we may have been one of the first, and I'm not saying that this is anything, but I like to think I'm maybe okay with seeing market trends in my corner of the world. We may have been one of the first podcast networks, if you will, in Australia. There might have only been a handful at the start that were doing kind of sub shows. So we launched This Is Property, I think in 2019, so a while ago. And the reason was, let's just diversify and let's, you know, you're the property dude, let's focus on that. Now, then what happened was in 2020, I noticed that there were more questions coming in to our Facebook group and people would email in and ask questions about their career. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the career for people in their 20s now with the world changing, that's the next big thing. And that's why I'm like, we've got to do a career show because I think there's so much gold. Because what's everyone want? They want a property. Okay, what's everyone got? They've got a career. Now, it's very niche, the career and the work show, rather, because the I want a property, I'll listen to a property, I can get money through that. But the career thing, and this is the struggle I've had with the Sort Your Career Out book, it's such a valuable book, But because it's not this big sexy goal, it's not as popular as the property crap. So I'm like, let's do a career sub show. We can give Shelley the thing and it will be so awesome. And then as I was dicking around with I called it My Millennial Money Express, and I wanted to do a daily podcast, 5 minutes a day, blah, blah. And this was in 2019, right? And what happened was that kind of turned into its own thing, and I'd then just do an episode a week. And then I'm like, oh, I want to do more investing content. And then, yeah, we just basically turned that into This Is Investing or My Millennial Investor. So what's the actual structure of the business and the shows? And kind of to the point, you know, My Millennial Money might be 90% bigger than some of the sub shows. Maybe some of the sub shows are 20% of the size. Like, it's still quite a big thing. So the structure of the business is Simo Interactive Proprietary Limited, trading as This Is Money, is owned by my family trust. Now, all the copyright and all our intellectual property and the podcast RSS feeds are owned by my family trust, and there is a license agreement where This Is Money licenses, which is Simo Interactive, trading as This Is Money. I'm trying to practice by just calling it This Is Money. This Is Money now licenses those brands and names, okay? Like at the end of the This Is Investing podcast, at the end of it, in the fine print, it says This Is Investing is used under license. So there's a license agreement in the background for Nick to use that, because Nick actually publishes that show. He doesn't own it. He just is the publisher of it, and he leases that show from. But that's a, and I'll tell the reason why, because he's in the States and it's outside of Australian law. So that was just you can license the name basically and go to town. But so within that, I'll pick on This Is Property. So This Is Property, the trademark and the podcast RSS feed, which sends out the podcast, is owned by my family trust. And then the hosts of This Is Property, they do not, so every single podcast that we have and produce, I own it. So Glenn James owns all the podcasts, okay? So, and effectively my family trust owns those podcasts. Now, we've got an agreement with the hosts, and it's a three-way agreement between my family trust, Simo Interactive, trading as This Is Money, and, for example, John Pigeon. Or it's actually, it's an agreement in some cases between John Pigeon's company and my two companies, and his company elect John Pigeon as the host. So this is exactly the same. So if someone is a host on any of the shows, they've got this agreement in place with me, okay? So that agreement says they are a host, they have to do so many episodes per year, and the agreement might have a date period. John, I think John signed for another 3 years, and if in 3 years' time we don't sign, the agreement's set up that it just keeps going. But in terms of remuneration, that agreement there says they get a split of revenue produced from their podcast, okay? So if I won't actually tell you the revenue split because that part is confidential, but I will say I still get the lion's share of the revenue. But it works out for, say, John and Emily and Shelley, and, you know, now Martin McGrath with Retireite and Jess Brady with Financially Fierce, you know, all these people are self-employed, and I can talk about Dev and Nick in a minute, but the agreement says that they can promote their own businesses on the show, because for me, I want these podcasts to produce content for a value add to the This Is Money community and to get some ad rev to cover costs and make a bit of a profit. If they want to advertise their own business, they're welcome to do that. And I just only do win-wins in business. So that agreement also says that they agree that they don't own the podcast. There is some stuff that I can terminate, you know, if they were found guilty of some type of weird thing or fraud or moral failure or whatever, I can just give them the flick. But effectively, to answer your question, Emily, I own everything. And the reason I do is probably one, I'm probably not that great at being a business partner. And I think the reason why is a lot of it is if I want to set a business strategy and do it, it's hard. It's just so hard. And I've had partnerships before and I'm just not doing it again. It's just so hard if that other person isn't on the same page or if I want to take a business risk and it doesn't go off or it doesn't be successful, I really don't want to feel that I've let the other person down. So I've just resolved that, hey, if you do business with me, Glenn James, I'm going to own 100% of it. And that's not going to work for a lot of people. And I'm happy to take on all the risk personally, but I'm also confident if the risks do play off that I get all of the reward. But within that, for example, I'll pick on John because he's been with me from the start. John's got a very generous deal with our podcast and all that because, you know, he rocked up every single week, every single time for the last seven. We're into our seventh year now. So John's well kept. But if you were, so for example, I'll talk about Emily Wallace. Because This Is Property is a very, very popular property podcast in Australia, I won't put words in her mouth, but I'm just looking in at the value that it provides Emily and her career. So she will sometimes get clients directly from that podcast. But secondly, it's a really good authority position in her industry to be a host of one of Australia's biggest property podcasts, right? So that's kind of the trade-off. Now, if you are an employee and you're doing a podcast on the side, very hard to make money, like extremely hard because you just need there's Facebook groups online and people say, how many listeners do I need to get a sponsor? I basically tell people, like, you need at least 5,000 listens an episode to actually start to make anything real in terms of money, or over 10,000 listens per week across all your episodes. So it's really hard to make money out of podcasts. So that's a little bit of the business and the sub shows. And like, if I had it my way, I would want the property show and the career show doing two episodes a week. But they're just so busy running their own businesses. Sometimes it's hard for them to, you know, to get one up a week because the weeks go so fast. So there we go. Let's have a look here. Mel, where do you see your show positioned in the ecosystem of money shows? What unique value do you think your show offers and how did that factor into the rebrand? Had this rebrand reinvigorated your drive for the potty or doesn't it make that much of a difference to you? So where we sit in the ecosystem, people are like, oh, Equity Mates, they're your competition, or Victoria, you know, She's on the Money, she's competition, or Ras, their competition, or insert other money podcast here. My own view is I don't have competition. And that's annoyed some business strategists or whatever that I talk to or and all that. And the reason why is, let's take She's on the Money, Victoria. Victoria is a woman. She's younger than me. She does things differently, has a different view of the world, and has her way of doing a podcast. I'm a dude knocking on 40 who's got a unique, maybe weird, controversial view of the world and all that. There are going to be people who, even if we gave them the two options, here's She's on the Money, here's This Is Money, which one is the better one? Every second person you ask, one's going to go, oh, that one. The other one's going to go, that one. That one's going to go, like them both. That one goes, don't like any of them. So all that to say, I can't have competition because I'm not competing against the same product. All I can do is do the best content, and this kind of speaks to my targeting when I pick up a microphone and record, all I can do is really understand the people that listen to me, really serve them and what they want well, really lead them and be a facilitator of a chat. And then within that, focus on my core 20% of audience, because then if I can grow the core, that's all good. So where do I see myself positioned in the ecosystem of money shows? I don't actually know the answer. I do know one thing. There are a variety of different money shows, and I don't think the internet works in a way that you could be the best money person, you can be the smartest money person, you can be the most accurate and all that, where there could be someone who's never been trained in money and is an influencer and explodes and that's popular. Like, it doesn't really matter about who you are. If it works, it works. But I will say, in terms of some of the positioning of me and my experience, compared to other money podcasters, I've had over 10 years experience as a financial advisor, sitting down face to face with people like you in the real world. And that type of experience, you can't buy. And it's and that's when I give my answers, it's very much not necessarily the book answer, but the real world, hey, in practice, do it this way, because I know you'll get a better result than doing it that way. Now, with those years and years of experience face-to-face with people of different ages and stages versus someone who rocks up, oh, I'm going to start a money podcast and talk about money and do all that, you know, again, this goes back to exactly the thing I'm talking about. The book smart thing says the one with experience surely can do a better podcast, but the one who's just rocked up doing a money podcast might explode more than the one with experience. So all that to say, you can't control the world, but all I know is when I answer a question, I've got a whole heap of life experience sitting down face-to-face dealing with different people, different personalities, different money products. I've seen a lot and I know what on balance works out there in the real world. So that's kind of how I've positioned myself. Another thing, you know, when we did the rebrand, like a lot of it is a bit, sometimes a bit tongue-in-cheek and, you know, based on my vibe. And my vibe is different. Like I sometimes don't take things seriously. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm irreverent. Is that the word? Whatever it is. Sometimes I'm just, yeah, whatever, chill. So the brand has kind of come from my experience of, you know, all that stuff. It has come from Glenn's chill. But it also has changed where, because I'm no longer on the tools and, you know, I run into financial advisors at different events and someone came up to me the other day and I'm like, oh, I listen to your show, love it. And I'd known her for a while. And she's like, oh, yeah, some of the things you say, ooh, a bit weird. Like, and it's just because I'm not on the tools anymore. So what I've positioned in my, like, I'm smart enough to know that I'm not a financial advisor anymore. And while on balance, I don't think I can ever unlearn the behavioral stuff, there are going to be things deep in the weeds of the financial advice and the money world that I'm not on top of 100%. So that's why we've kind of repositioned to it where I'm more of a facilitator of a conversation and just running a money community. And probably I've grown up a lot in the last 7 years. The more people you talk to, the more of a well-balanced, compassionate person you are. And probably when I started recording first, I was like, yeah, you got to do it this way or you're an idiot. Yep, that's how it is. But me talking from talking with heaps of our listeners from a variety of different backgrounds, I've learned that, okay, well, it's a little bit more nuanced and there are some laws about money. Spend less than what you earn, invest the rest. Awesome. But if someone's like, well, I need to keep my own money over here in this own account for my own security, knock yourself out. You do you. That's awesome. Okay. I'll take a quick break and pay the bills, and I'll be right back after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click get help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers, and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rightio, we are back. Now, Katie asked, it's not the MMN community anymore. Is it the TIM community now? Well, I think the TIM acronym, it does kind of just organically get used. Like, we'll get emails like, hey, Tim Team, or in the Facebook group, people will be like, hey, Tim. So, yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, we can call it Tim, the Tim community. Mitch, what is the roadmap for the business? Oh, and just on that, when Emily before the break talked about has it reinvigorated you, I think it has. If you are a regular listener to my podcast, This Is Money, the second half of 2023, I only really worked 2 days a week. I did a TAFE course, and to be honest, I was over it. I was like, I can't be bothered doing this anymore. Just over it. I was bored. So this process really has reinvigorated me, and having a bit of a break from the trenches. And within that, like, we restructured a whole heap of stuff. And I'll just make a note, because I don't think it's one of the questions, but I'll talk about it at the end. Restructure. We restructured the business kind of last year or the end of the year before for a variety of reasons, and we can get to that, but I'll just make a note of that. So Mitch says, what's the roadmap? Any new projects or products to look out for? Will there be an updated spending plan, courses with This Is Money, or any other convos in the back end with other podcasts on a growing the audience and industry as a whole? What's happening with your TAFE course? Are you a captain yet? So TAFE course is done. I've got my, what they call my AMPers, which is my all my qualifications, so I can go to the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, the, you know, Australian boat people, and effectively commence the process to be a licensed captain of a ship up to 12 meters, which I probably won't do. I just kind of did the TAFE course out of personal interest. So the roadmap for the business is to keep consistent with This Is Money and look to grow that audience, albeit harder over time, and probably diversify the income streams because, you know, in business, you must have multiple income streams. If you don't, that's a big risk. So part of my crisis last year and, you know, having a bit of a break was I needed to really diversify the hosts away from me, particularly on the main show. And you may have heard I had Sarah from New Zealand host a few episodes. One, because I couldn't be bothered. Two, I needed a bit of a rest. And three, I was just kind of putting my toe in the water to see if I could slip in another host. And then I had John do a couple of episodes, and I know there was one week where John, I wasn't on either on the Tuesday or the Thursday, and it was John, and we noticed a dip in listeners, and I'm like, interesting, that's annoying. So it was apparent that the subscribers of My Millennial Money really valued Glenn James as the actual host. And what I do in the business is, because, you know, I'm the CEO, I'm the owner, all that crap. I'm technically not a CEO. You know how people are like, I'm the CEO of my business. Well, are you? Did the board hire you, did they? So I, Glenn James, the owner and all that, happen to be one of the main products. So I have to wheel the main product out to work. And I'd resolved the main product. People love the main product. Now, that sounds a bit weird, but from a business point of view, like if we started to phase John and Emily out of the property show, we know that the listeners would probably suffer because they like that product. So we need to keep the product of John and Emily hosting that show. So I learned a couple of things that, and then I had Jess Brady host a couple of episodes with me on the Tuesday, because in my mind, I was like, maybe she could come on and just replace me. Because at the end of last year, I was like, I am sick of podcasting. I am done. But the problem is, it's an audience that really liked the product, Glenn James. And then, so part of that getting Sarah on, getting John to host some Thursdays, getting Jess on to host some Thursdays was, if I wasn't around anymore, so I don't know, if something happened to my voice, or God forbid I got throat cancer and couldn't talk again, like, does that mean the business is dead? So I, like, fast forward, what I had resolved was, shut up, Glenn, you need to work 2 hours a week. Just do two episodes a week, 1 hour on the Tuesday, 1 hour on the Thursday, life's good. You're earning hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you can do 2 hours of recording a week. Like, that's your job. And I'm like, true. So I've resolved I will still be the main person on This Is Money. I will continue to do the My Money Story episodes and do as much as possible. But I'll also now just rotate out the hosts on a Tuesday. So the problem I also had with having John on every episode on Tuesday, you know, every, and I've said this to him, so it's not weird, but like every question is a nail, and every, and John's a property hammer. Or, you know, that analogy, it's like every question, property. So it was really hard for me to do an episode and ask and answer a heap of questions about ETFs, diversification. Oh, what about that new Raise app? Or, hey, do you think that ETF over there, it's too expensive for an active ETF? Like, John's the property dude. And it was really, I was finding it really hard to answer the type of questions with a second person that wasn't in the trenches on a broad personal finance scale. So that's why there's now episodes with Jess Brady and Rebecca Pritchard, because they're like so dialed into the financial world. And then still, John will come on and will rotate the hosts out on the Tuesday show. Now, there is a legacy agreement that John's revenue is not impacted from that, because we agreed to that when we started the show and blah, 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 and I will honor that. And it's an agreement. So I've just taken the view with the business structure and the hosts that it didn't work, that I could just, because I was originally just going to say, hey, Jess, do you want to come on and do a Tuesday show? I'll pay you per episode. Just come in, do it. So I'm like, and then the more I did it, and everyone loved Jess when she was on the podcast. So I thought, let's do her own show. She needs her own show. So that's what we did, and that's why we started Financially Fierce. We kind of agreed that we need to give Financially Fierce a really good shake. I own the family trust owns the Financially Fierce podcast. We've trademarked the logo, but the design I said, well, just talk to Jace, my designer, and get him to do it so it looks like your other brand. Like, I'm all good. I just can't do this unless I own it. You can be on a rev split of anything we get. You can promote all your own stuff on there, but this is the structure that I operate in. And so part of the, again, going back and looking at the diversification of the business and knowing that me being one of the main products, I have to protect the business if I wasn't around, enter Financially Fierce. On purpose, we didn't call it This Is Fierce or This Is This. I wanted it to be completely separate, and the same with Retireite. So the plans, like back to the question, the roadmap, for me, it's about Glenn continuing with This Is Money, going hard. I'm part of this episode is the This Is Business episode, and I'll be putting these shows up on a Saturday, but also you can subscribe to the actual business podcast called This Is Business, because I've started writing a business book and I'm just building a bit of a dedicated business audience. Like, we used to have a podcast called My Millennial Business, but a couple of years ago I had this, yeah, I just was like, ah, it's all too much. Let's scale back down and do This Is Money and, well, My Millennial Money. I didn't have the capacity for This Is Business at the time. So I gave that one away and have started again. And kind of really, I've kind of gone through this process of a couple of years ago, like taking over the world, doing all this stuff. And then I'm just like, I'm working lots and I'm not vibing this. Like, I actually now don't want the big empire. I want my business to be as lean as possible. I want to just empower my team to do what they do and they can do it well and make this business as lean as possible. So then I basically really started scaling things back. One of our employees had to make a really hard decision to make that position redundant, and she was doing live events. She was doing partnerships. She was doing design, website and all that. And I knew after our live events that going forward, we need to just outsource that, because Jess was taking, you know, doing an awesome job doing these live events, but her time and effort was dedicated to partnerships and talking with brands. Well, while she was focusing on the events, the income from partnerships was falling off because literally, you can only do so much in the day, right? And then at the same time, I'm like, oh, I really want to do less direct with brands. And so I made the decision, we'll just 100%, well, not 100%. We always do stuff direct, but lean into our podcast host, Acast, and they provide a heap of ads and basically outsource that to them. So it, to the point now, they go, do you want to work with this brand? We're like, yes. And then they just send me a script and I read the script and we send it back. They take a cut, but I just wanted to outsource as much as possible in this business. You know, started, we grew. I'm like, yeah, we'll have it all in-house. And then this was just, oh, just this is all a headache. So we're now, like if a brand comes to us direct, we will work with them and maybe make the scripts and, you know, do all that. But now it's like, Acast comes, do you want to work with this brand? We're like, yep. I'm like, and they just send me the script and I read it and they'll tell me if I can ad lib or not. Like, it's really just taking, just outsourcing a whole heap. And within that role that was made redundant, like our online course, Glenn James Spending Plan, there was a heap of admin on that because we were charging that. We made that free because I just was like, I just need to do things as lean, as simple as possible. So that position kind of had to evaporate. And there's stuff that we're doing, well, that we're not doing now in the business. Like, we're not doing that much, you know, Google analytical stuff. And, you know, there's a heap of stuff that that we just stopped doing. Like, we don't sell any of our books or merch on the website anymore because it's just another thing. It's like, if you want a book, go buy it from Amazon or Big W. Like, we're just leaning that up. I just don't want to do that. So we took the shop from our website, and there were so many things that we were doing. I was just like, we're a podcast. We're just going to do podcasting well. So taking all that, like, because if you've got a team, as a business owner, you know, if you've got someone in a leadership management position, they're doing a lot of good work, but they're still going to have to work with you and to a point. And I was just like, oh, I don't even have time to record a bonus podcast episode because just my headspace was too cluttered. So it was a big leaning out. So that's basically what's been happening in the business. Now, going forward, we are heavily focusing. And then we did the Spotify deal and, you know, that lasted, I think, a year. But I knew the writing was on the wall that they weren't going to continue because the money was coming from their marketing budget. It wasn't, you know, it was a really good deal, made lots of good money for a while. In that contract, I said, I want to own the RSS feed. So a lot of those Spotify shows that you listened to, they would have stopped overnight when they stopped. Like a lot of, they gave podcasts to a lot of influencers, but Spotify owned the RSS feed. And when they approached us, I think they originally wanted to buy My Millennial Money. But I'm like, nope, not selling that because I don't run my business as a false economy. Like you can be a, give me a truckload of money for My Millennial Money, but it would just run my business as a false economy. So I said, I'll start a new show. But I want to own the RSS feed. So that's why we were, that My Millennial Daily / This Is Daily was probably one of the only quote unquote Spotify exclusive shows that when Spotify money dried up from their marketing budget, that our show kept going because I had negotiated that I owned that and they just basically leased it off me. And then we just changed that to My Millennial Daily. Going forward this year, my big thing is to keep on keeping on with This Is Money, continue doing This Is Business because I love talking about business, and then focus on the diversification with Financially Fierce and Retire Right. Now, Retire Right, we are now the probably the only biggest Australian retirement podcast. So it is a bit of a rinse and repeat of when I started My Millennial Money back in the day and My Millennial Career. Like there was no real other big career podcast, just focusing on your career and the same vibe. And I'm just doing it with Retire Right. Like there's this big unserved part of the market and that's people over 55 who are wanting financial content targeted at the later years of work. So, like the Facebook group, that's grown, like at recording, over the last 60 days, that's grown almost 400%. Like, this is such a big, big, amazing opportunity. And to be honest, Retire Right, I would probably, so it might be the only show if I was approached by, I've got to be careful because I had signed NDAs on stuff before, but hypothetically, I may have been approached many years ago by a large radio network to take My Millennial Money and I declined because I wanted to keep independent. Probably, in retrospect, a mistake. I didn't do that because they had the distribution. But Retire Right could be a piece of content. If you're listening, you know who you are. Call me. They're probably not listening. That I might take to a national incumbent distribution. Because I really have only done that with my business, gone external and did some type of partnership with our books, Wiley, because I'm just like, I just want to keep small, independent. We do good with money and all that. It's not about creating the empire, so I'm happy to just kind of keep everything in-house. But, yeah, I'd probably retire. I'd potentially go to a larger radio network if they wanted to pick up Retire Right and distribute that. Now, the reason podcasts, like it's hard to do podcasts and it's all about distribution. How can you grow your podcast and get that out there to people who listen to audio? And that's why there's been some other podcasts that have gone huge because they've partnered with incumbent radio networks and, you know, people drive around listening to stuff and they hear, oh, you can listen to this podcast. So I think the retirite strategy for us, it's a big opportunity. I really think we have, we're only just starting. It's taken me a few years to really get this off the ground because I had to get the right host. Did try some other hosts that didn't really work out. But yeah, that's the roadmap for the business is retirite financially fierce to really diversify away from the This Is brand. So now there was a question here. Is Dev Raga coming along for the rebrand? If not, why not? So we did have Dev as, so his show, Dev Raga Personal Finance. It's a decent sized little podcast. So, and I will say all my shows, the hosts have complete editorial control. So I don't tell them what to say or, they, you know, there's a lot of trust there. Now, a couple of things, they've just got to be aligned with the same philosophy. For example, we don't promote any debt products, gambling products, political crap or adult entertainment. Like we've just gone, nope, we're not doing that. If any of my hosts are approached by a brand under contract, they have to send that to me. They can't negotiate any money. A couple of reasons. One, they don't own any of this business. They're just a host. And number two, if I'm negotiating on behalf of them, they'll make more money anyway because there's a third party doing it. And it's just as simple as that. And that's why I might have a different agent to negotiate different things at times. So yeah, so the host, they've got complete control of what they say, but they can't talk to brands direct. If they get pitched by a person who wants to go on the show, there are some times where I say, look, I just need you to check with me. There's been one or two times where there's been guests that have approached one of our hosts that, can I come on the podcast? And I've said that person is not going anywhere near a microphone that I've got anything to do with. I'm sorry. So I don't really have much day-to-day stuff, but yeah, if there was a type of guest or brand that I got a sniff of that they were doing, and even like, I don't know, it's not a big deal. Like John said yes to someone coming on the show the other day on the property show. And I called him like, what the hell are you doing? Like, no. And it was kind of too late. And they're not harmful, but it was more, I think, you know, I've spent a lot of time and energy building up this business and the platform and doing all that. If you're a commercial brand, like, and you want to come and just write off what I've built, well, you can freaking pay. It's as simple as that. And we disclose that it's a paid episode. That kind of goes into how we make money. So number one, we make money by ads. So we had an ad break before. Actually, I'll give you an example now. Nath, can you put the post roll marker in here and we'll show people. So in the background, we can put a flag in and have it as a pre-roll marker, mid-roll or post-roll dynamic marker. So at the start of our podcast, there'll be an intro, then we insert the dynamic marker. In the middle, we say, we'll be back after the break, and that serves the ads for the mid-roll. And then at the end of the show, there's a post-roll marker. So, Nath, run the post-roll marker right now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So there you go. If you didn't hear anything, there has been no ad in that slot. If you did hear, that is one of our ads that we've served up to you. And we've put that as a post-roll marker. Now, we can go in and upload our own campaigns into those marker slots. So that's why if you hear an episode from 3 years ago, you might hear an episode for the brand new season of this on Stan or Netflix or whatever, because they're dynamic markers. That's one way we make money. We make money by doing sponsored episodes. So if there's a company or brand that wants to come on and talk about their stuff, and I think it will be like number one, I think it will be a benefit to have that brand talk about their product, I will charge them for that. Now, on My Millennial Money, the main show, per episode, it's over $15,000. I'll just say that. Okay. So if you want to come on, you can pay, but it will be of value to my listeners, and we'll disclose it that it's paid. Simple as that. That's another way we make money. We make money from if I do corporate speaking or any of that stuff. That's a way we make money. We make money from our email list. So we put ads in the email list. We also make money from mortgage brokers and financial advice. So if I refer a listener to a mortgage broker or a financial advisor, number one, they're going to get looked after. They've been vetted. It's a quality business. They're not going to get screwed. Sure, mistakes happen. That's fine. They'll be onto it if it does happen. Like, it's human nature. Not everything can go right all the time. But if we send you to a broker or an advisor, I know from the get-go, there's no malice there. There is intention to look after you. Now, anything they earn in the first part of the transaction, like mortgage broker commission, they will send a split back to us, right? Now, that is also disclosed to you as the individual in the credit proposal statement advice. So everything's disclosed, and that is another way that we make money. And, you know, some people had a problem with that, but at the end of the day, in a business sense, that business is just buying a customer. So if you've got a problem with that, you've got a problem with people spending money advertising on Google because they're taking some of their profit and advertising on Google. It doesn't cost the client anymore, but the business has decided to take some of the money that they make and buy a customer. And when you advertise, guess what? You're buying a customer. And this is the business podcast and we're over an hour in. So if you're still listening, you'd get that. So that's another way that we make money. So there you have it. There was a question about online courses. I do want to do another type of online course, but I think I'll do a live 6-week type course around investing in shares. But that's a bit later on. Jillian, hi, Glenn. Love your podcast and your work. Thank you so much. It really fills me with optimism and drive to hit my financial milestones. Thank you. As a person who works in marketing, I'd love to know if you have someone dedicated in your team or is it more a social media manager? Thanks and take care. So, yeah, we did have a part of the role that was made redundant was quote-unquote marketing, but because I was of the view that I don't want the empire and I just want to kind of keep on and not have a huge type of growth, we don't really do any marketing, quote unquote. A lot of people said to me that, oh, you'd be good in marketing. So I think, I set the strategy for what we want to do. And Jess and Josh in the kind of team that does emails and social media stuff, they just follow the brand guidelines from This Is Money. It's a really weird thing. It's pretty organic. If I'm going to do anything, I might boost a post on Instagram or whatever. But we kind of, Jess and Josh take care of the social media. And to be honest, I hate Instagram and the fact that we've got to do it. It's such a weird thing. So that's a heap of questions there. I'll finish on this question from Louise on Instagram. What is the end goal? Sell it, remove yourself so further scale is possible? Yeah, the end goal, the business is set up. So like my trust owns the name and the assets effectively. So if it is sold, any kind of profit can flow through and it's not in a company, so it's not just a flat 30% tax and all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, sure, you always want to set up your business so if it is sold, but I think it really is, for me personally, has become a bit of a lifestyle business, and that is I'm not really out there wanting to take over the world, but if I really was strict and dialed in, I could probably get everything done that I need to in 2 days a week, 2.5, 3 days a week max. But I'm just not as dialed in to do that. Like last year, everything ran fine pretty much with me working 3 days a week. So for me, it really is like, well, I just love, you know, doing a podcast, having a chat, earning good money. The business a couple of years ago was in the AFR Fast Starter list. I think we'll like the, let me have a look here. I had the thing. I think we were the 30-something fastest growing business in Australia. Yeah, an annual growth rate in the 3 years starting of just under 300%. And financial year 2022, the revenue is 1.2 million. So I've just, and that's public, and that's only one entity, wink. That's just the Simo entity. You know, the trust has some other entity from book sales and, yeah, because the trust owns the books. So I, yeah, I've just resolved I want to keep on keeping on. I want to continue to look after the team as much as possible because we've got, you know, six people to work with us and, you know, they've got families and their own lives. So we do a 4-day work week. So, yeah, I just want to continue keeping on. I want to continue with the diversification of Financially Fierce and Retireite. I'm going to write another book on business. And, yeah, it's really hard. Like, I struggle to grow the audience of This Is Money now because everyone's got a friggin' podcast. Life's good. I can earn good money. And, you know, revenue has dropped a little bit, guys. Like, with the interest rates increasing, the reason we didn't do a tour last year was I wasn't confident I could get any sponsorship revenue. And every content creator was saying it. It's like, yeah, money's dried up. Marketing budgets died. So I've just resolved, yeah, let's just keep lean. Let's just keep agile. Let's do less and do it better. But I just really want to continue having a conversation with the people that listen to us and call this podcast home, basically. And then within that, we kind of continue doing the retirement stuff, Financially Fierce, and supporting, you know, and I've told John and Emily and Shell, you know, they can come on and promote their business at any time in our Facebook group because they're doing quality stuff. Same with Jess with her online course. Now, the thing is, Dev and Nick, this is what I was touching on earlier, because they can't really sell anything off the back of their podcasts, they are really just doing it for the ad rev. Dev's podcast, yeah, it's, I don't actually like have that much to do with it. And I'm happy just to help him out with the production stuff. And, you know, if he gets some ad rev, I own the podcast. I actually purchased it off him. But yeah, I think for Nick and Dev, it is more of a bit of a hobby, something to do where I can get a little bit of money from the ads along the way. At any time, if they're like, oh, we're stopping, I'd be like, yeah, sweet. Where if, you know, John, Emily or Shell or Jess or Martin turned around and said, yeah, I'm stopping, I'm like, yeah, well, let's look at what the contract says. That's when you're stopping. So, but it probably wouldn't, I don't know. I'm pretty chill. Like, we've got the contracts in place and it is protect both parties. But like if Emily turned around and was like, oh, I can't do the property show anymore, I'd be like, yes, wait, let's just find another host and, you know, all good. I don't know if I'd actually hold it. We're like, all right, well, yep, you've got a 6-month, well, I don't even know what it is. Like you've got a 6-month notice period, you're stopping in 6 months. Like I don't think I'd actually do that unless, you know, it was really savage and was like, well, we agreed to this and but life's too short to argue with people. So, look, that's a bit of an update on behind the scenes of This Is Money. I just want to be as transparent as possible and, yeah, continue the conversation with everyone and taking you, our audience, on the journey. The whole time with this rebrand, I feel that I have taken our audience on the journey and it's been fun. For some time, I was dropping hints that we were rebranding, and yeah, we showed a heap of people. Like we did the live event in Newcastle, I showed a heap of people the brand just to, like in the flesh. Like, what do you think? What do you think? And yeah, it was. It's been really fun. I'm planning at the moment to do another national tour. I've got one sponsor locked in. I just need another one locked in. If I can lock in one second sponsor or two other smaller ones, I'll do some live shows around Australia again in September. We're aiming for end of September. Nick will fly in from overseas, wherever he's living at the time, and we'll do a heap of live events around investing in shares in Australia. But now, like, even money's harder to get. Our tours before would make lots of profit. The property tour we just done basically was a break even. This tour we're just planning to do a break even. So it is tough out there in sponsorship land, but I really do, like, we're going to, the time of recording, it's Saturday the 20th of April I'm recording this. I think next fortnight I'm in Townsville to do a show up there. Now, we probably, it'll cost us to go to Townsville, and there might only be 25 people that come. But I really want to go up there and maybe some of the profit that we do have just to invest back in and visit the good people of Townsville who listen. And even if there's only 15 or 20 of them, like, I'm happy to kind of do that on an ad hoc basis. But yeah, pulling the thread and doing something national, you know, it could probably take 100 grand to do that with the team. And it's just, it's a lot of money to do the national thing because you need extra help. And it's, yeah, it's a big thing. So I'll end it there. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been of interest to you if you are listening to this. And yeah, I'll continue to do these kind of business episodes. I think one thing that in finishing, the differentiation of particularly the This Is Business podcast, I really want to be really practical for those in the actual trenches, not like a Diary of the CEO business podcast or anything like that. So yeah, practical. That's going to be the difference with this one. We're going to talk on the business podcast about in the trenches with business. Hey everyone, thank you so much for having a listen today or watching wherever you are. My name's Glenn James and this is Business.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. If you are interested in furthering your education around money, your career or property, we have three books that might help. Check out Sort Your Money Out, Sort Your Career Out and Sort Your Property Out. Find these wherever good books are sold or via the link in the podcast show notes. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Simo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.